Ray, you were telling me the other day, you were talking to me about three books that have created a massive spiritual revolution, even challenging Christianity for supremacy. What are these books?
I was saying that there were three books that back up what I was saying about the mystical revolution. There are actually, two of them are actually Christian books, and one is a secular book. Two of them are written by scholars, university professors. One is called The Making of the New Spirituality, The Eclipse of the Western Religious Tradition, which would be Christianity, by Dr. James A. Herrick. And on the back cover, it kind of sums up what the book is about. This is an endorsement. And this gentleman says, God is not dead in our culture, only his identity has changed. And then there's another book that kind of echoes this, that was written by a college professor, Robert C. Fuller, and it's called Spiritual But Not Religious, and it's about how tens of millions of Americans have embraced what's called unchurched spirituality, which in effect is what was called New Age back in the 70s and 80s. And then there's another book that's relatively recent, I think it came out just last year, called Bad Religion, and that's by a journalist with the New York Times, Ross Douthat. This book is about the slow-motion collapse of traditional faith and the rise of a variety of pseudo-Christianities that stroke our egos, indulge our follies, and encourage our worst impulses. And what these three books basically are saying is that, you know, traditional Christianity has been seriously challenged, and now there's the ascendancy of what's called mystical or New Age religion. And this is backed up by a Baylor University survey from like 2007, I believe. And according to Baylor, the Baptist University in Texas, and according to them, there are now up to 26 million Americans who view God as a cosmic force rather than a personal being. What makes this significant is that this would be more, if this is true, that would be more people involved in this than there are Episcopalians, Lutherans, Presbyterians, United Methodists, and Seventh-day Adventists combined. In other words, you put all these denominations together, and the number of people who believe that God is a cosmic force would outnumber them.
As I opened the program, Ray, we have a spiritual revolution going on, but it's not the kind that we would like to hear about. I think, would I be right in saying, Ray Youngen, that we have headed into the age of Aquarius, that people who are spiritual today, at least many of them, our topic today, see all men as divine, man as God, we are all interconnected, we have a planetary spirituality. Is that the new religion that's taken over the Western world?
Well, let me answer that with, you know, the following information. Now, these are facts. You know, anybody could give their opinion and say, oh, absolutely, you know, but people wouldn't really have a way of checking that out. Now, unfortunately, the first piece of information I have can no longer be validated because they went out of business. But, you know, Borders Bookstore went out of business, I think, in 2011, fall of 2011, and in my hometown here, the local Borders, if you would go there, you would find that this type of spirituality called metaphysics, you know, that which is beyond the physical, that was the sign that you would see, had 65 shelves devoted to it. 65 shelves. Now, if you go by the law of the market, supply and demand, that means that there's a huge number of people that wanted these kind of books. And when you compared that to the, I think it was called in the Christian section, it was broken up. They had like the history of Christianity, and then they had like Christian fiction, which was huge. And then they had something called inspirational living or Christian living or something like that. And that was only 45 shelves. So going by the law of the market, the New Age section would be 65, and the just Christian inspirational, I guess that's what it's called, Christian inspiration, was 45 shelves. Here's another piece of information that shows that this type of spirituality has exploded. There's a website called The Witch's Voice, neo-pagan news networking and what have you, and they came online in 1997. And since then, I asked people, you know, how many hits think they've had since 1997, and most people will say 5 million, you know, 3 million, 5 million. Well, in essence, I checked last night, this will sound really far-fetched or really fantastic, you know. A lot of people may not believe this, but I checked last night on their website. Since 1997, The Witch's Voice, and there's a pentagram right there when you go to it, has gotten 460 million hits. That's almost half a billion. Almost half a billion. And most people, when they hear that, they're utterly shocked. Of course, that's in the entire English-speaking world. That would include Great Britain, Canada, Australia. And of course, there's not half a billion witches, you know, in the English-speaking world. But it shows that there are millions and millions of people who are drawn to this type of spiritual practice.
Right. Well, here's what I want to do, because I know what you're saying is true, and you and I have discussed this, and I find there are statistics that are literally shocking. And you also told me that there are some 800 hospitals in the U.S. who practice Reiki. And
yeah,
so,
allow energy. Well, that's just Reiki alone.
That's just Reiki. That's
we'll get
just,
to here in a minute.
Yep. You told me there are perhaps as many as 65 different types of energy healing. And we talked about on the phone the other day, there's Reiki and therapeutic touch. There's healing touch. There's quantum touch. There's Eden energy, matrix healing, the reconnective healing method, the oneness blessing. That's actually enlightenment in just 2 minutes. The others take a longer time. There's polarity therapy. There's theta healing. There's vortex healing. Ray, I want to play a soundbite of someone who took their teenage daughter because they were desperate. And I'm sure you know that anybody who's desperate seeks any kind of healing possible. You go to everything imaginable. Took her young teenage daughter to see somebody who was engaging in energy healing and actually had some good results.
After months of tests, pain meds, and antibiotics failed to resolve Courtney's pain, a doctor at Cedars-Sinai told Diane that she should try something slightly out of the ordinary.
Come on in.
He sent Diane and her daughter to the UCLA Pain Management Clinic for alternative treatment and energy healing.
Reiki energy, I think, is the newest complementary therapy on the horizon.
A recommendation that Diane wasn't completely sold on, but was willing to give a try.
As a mother, I think you see your kids sick and you just want to do anything to help them feel better.
Trying an alternative therapy such as energy medicine for her pain was met with a teenage dose of skepticism.
I never really knew what it was or heard of it before, and when they said it, I wasn't really open to anything else alternatively, but my parents kind of told me that I should just give it a try, and I did.
Take another huge deep breath.
Helping to treat Courtney was Carolyn Coldridge, an energy healer who's on staff at the UCLA Pediatric Clinic. Her path to energy medicine, like Judith Orloff's, was far from direct.
I've been a psychotherapist for 12 years. I went to Columbia, and as I was there studying, I was really into spirituality and different types of healing, and I would see a lot of energy. I would get messages from, you know, their guides at times, and messages from their soul, basically. This is what I want to do to heal.
And it was these abilities that led Carolyn to become a full-time energy healer. She says the time has come for energy medicine to take its rightful place as a complement to traditional care.
People are looking for different answers. The traditional can't keep up with all these different problems. We need to deal with the spirit in a person, and energy healing, Reiki, deals with the spirit. We need to deal with the physical, you know, the doctors deal with that, and the emotional body. And energy healing also deals with the emotional body because we're natural energy beings.
When we first met Carolyn, she had only been working with Courtney for a short time. But already, both Courtney and her mom were seeing a change.
I've went from seeing my kid double over in pain and watching the pain medicine that I'm giving her to she's cutting down on the medication she's taking. Yeah, I've seen a difference in it. Like, I went in with an open mind and just said, I'll give it a try. And when she did it to me, when Carolyn did it to me, I felt heat, like good energy coming through, and I felt really relaxed when I was done with the treatment.
Ray, a couple of things jump out at me. The practitioner got messages from guides. Is that spirit guides?
Well, that's a perfect segue into what I was about to share. That woman, Judith Orloff, I'm very familiar with her. She's had quite a number of books out, and she is a practicing psychic. She's written a number of books on, you know, developing psychic powers. Yeah, when she talks about guides, this is the very essence of Reiki. I want to share some information. You know, this is very important. This is from the Everything Reiki book, page 144. During the Reiki attunement process, the avenue that is open within the body to allow Reiki to flow through also opens up the psychic communication centers. This is why many Reiki practitioners report having verbalized channel communications with the spirit world. Okay, in Essential Reiki by Diane Stein, she says the Reiki guides are a group of discarnate, that means non-physical, healers that take part in every Reiki healing. The Reiki 1 practitioner is probably not aware of them, but with Reiki 2, they begin to make themselves known. In Reiki 3, which is the master level, they are running the whole show. Here's from the Reiki News. During every attunement ceremony, this is William Lee Rand saying this. If you don't learn Reiki, you're attuned to it. It's a esoteric practice. You know, it's not something like chiropractic or something where you have to be trained in. You're not trained in it. You're attuned to it. During every attunement ceremony, I am always aware of the presence of my Reiki guides. And then this woman up in the Portland, Oregon area says, she's a master. She says, I work with as many as 20 spirit guides during my Reiki treatments. Mm. They are my spiritual family. Many Reiki practitioners can feel the presence of their Reiki guides. And this is something I've seen over and over and over again, that the energy healing is connected with the practice of channeling energy from spirit guides.
You told me you were even ministering in a small town in Iowa, population very few. You saw something there, some evidence that this was present in this little town in Iowa.
There's these county seats, you know, and they usually have like anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people. Well, this is the county seat of this rural area. It's 130 miles southwest of Des Moines. It's out in the cornfields. Just really your typical American small town. In the town square, there was a office of a massage therapist, and it said Reiki right on the window. I mean, there was nothing hidden. It just said, you know, it offered a number of things they did, and Reiki was one of them. And this is one thing I want to point out. A lot of people may be skeptical and think, you know, energy doesn't come out of people's hands. That's something out of like kids' cartoons, and this is silliness. And these people, you know, like you and I, we've been duped into thinking this is real, you know, and this is just flaky. Well, no. U.S. News and World Report in 2007 did an article on energy healing, and at that time, you know, it validated that it was real. You know, we're not talking about psychosomatic, that this really is something where energy comes out of people's hands. That 1.5 million people in the U.S. were using energy healing, and at that time, about 1 million of them were Reiki channelers. Recently, I found out that was a 2004 figure. I found out that it had jumped now from 1 million to 2 million. In 2011, there were 2 million Reiki channelers in the U.S. And so that means these other 64 different methods, that they probably doubled too. So that would mean that now, instead of 1.5 million, there's 3 million.
I think it'd be safe to say that the Western world is probably energy obsessed. And that's a term I made up, but I think it'd be pretty accurate. Let me ask you this, because you say that the churches should be talking about this, and because this kind of comes dressed up as an angel of light, in other words, healing, somehow heal partially, totally, not in every case, but because of this healing element comes as an angel of light, and yet the churches aren't talking about it, how are we going to get them to talk about it?
Well, a show like this, we're not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here. We're not trying to work people up over something that's, like I said, psychosomatic. This is a very real phenomenon, and this is a very recent phenomenon. All these energy healing methods didn't really come about until 1970s. You know, that's when therapeutic touch was developed, 1972. Reiki was first introduced to the West, and I think in the late 70s, you know, closer to 1980, 22 Reiki masters were initiated. And so all this is very recent, and it's just been growing very fast because people do get impacted, like that soundbite you did. That girl did feel things. I've talked to quite a number of people that have had Reiki done on them, and they all say they felt, you know, great heat, great tingling, you know, and it was real. You know, one person even thought that the person doing it on them might have electrical equipment on their hands. It was so intense. So this is very, very pervasive. So if people in the churches can understand that this is, you know, something that actually happens, and you know, you don't even need somebody like me. You can just, maybe that's bad for business, you know, my booklets, but anybody can just go to the internet, type in Reiki, it's R-E-I-K-I, and anybody that has any knowledge of Christianity could see that this is totally opposite of what Christianity teaches, you know, incompatible with the gospel.
Anybody who's practicing this, do all of them know what they're engaged in?
A lot of people that are into Reiki are involved in like the Roman Catholic Church and the mainline Protestant churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that this is of God, you know, that this is none of them see anything wrong with it. And see, I talked to a woman who actually was a Reiki master. This is in Canada, in Calgary. And she said that she thought the guides were angels.
Okay.
These are God's angels.
Spirit guides are angels.
There's only two concepts of God, really, in the world. One is the Christian view, where God is a personal being that dwells in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. And then there's the metaphysical view, or the Eastern view, that God is in everything and everybody. God is a cosmic force that indwells everything that is.
Apparently, with Reiki, you actually touch whoever it is you're practicing on. Therapeutic touch, you don't. Help us understand the difference here.
Yeah, well, therapeutic touch is widely used by nurses, and it was developed by a woman named Dolores Krieger and another woman named Dora Kunz, K-U-N-Z, and both of these people had connections with occult organizations. I think that Dolores Krieger was a Buddhist, and Dora Kunz was a member or head of the Theosophical Society. Mm-hmm. She had some leadership position, in which was a New Age organization. So they developed this, and again, it's based on what's called the chakra system. And with therapeutic touch, you don't even really, with Reiki, they kind of gently put their hands either on you or over you, just very slightly above you. With therapeutic touch, they just kind of have their hands out, and they kind of deal with the aura rather than actual touching you, you know, as in Reiki. But I wanted to point out that this is, Reiki is very widely practiced in day spas. I remember that I talked to a woman who did brochures for a living, you know, developed brochures for, you know, businesses. And this is up in the Sacramento, California area. And she said that 75% of the day spas in that area offered Reiki, 75%. And a lot of prestigious organizations are promoting Reiki. And Sandra Bullock, who is considered one of the most respected and admired people in America, wears designer jewelry that's infused with Reiki energy. And, of course, the most predominant, the most influential person to promote it is Dr. Mehmet Oz. He promoted it on his show in 2010 and said that he ranked Reiki number one as far as, you know, alternative methods. He said, Reiki is one of my favorites. Been using it for years in the Oz family, and we swear by it.
Yeah.
And that's because his wife is a Reiki master.
Yeah. Right. I want to play a real short soundbite. It's only 32 seconds. I want your comment on it when it's over.
But Dr. Oz is tapping into that belief. In a small study of Reiki healing, Dr. Oz used energy healers known as Reiki masters in the operating theater on open heart patients. The result? Out of 11 patients treated with Reiki in Dr. Oz's operating room, not one experienced the usual post-operative depression. In the bypass patients, not one experienced post-operative pain or leg weakness. And in the transplant group, not a single one experienced organ rejection.
Just coincidence, Ray, or is there something to it?
Here's the real bedrock of the controversy. Reiki does impact people. I mean, it's real. You know, it makes people feel good. Most of them say it's enjoyable, but it has a spiritual component to it. All people that practice Reiki will say, well, this isn't religious. This has nothing to do with religion. You know, you can be of any religion or no religion, and this is not a religious practice, but it's spiritual. And they kind of differentiate between the two. And this is probably what I'm about to tell you is the most important part of this interview, I believe. There was a teacher in Portland, Oregon, who had a frozen shoulder. Again, vast majority of people, practically, you know, 80-90% of the people that will go to a Reiki channeler will go to, or therapist will go to one for therapeutic reasons, you know, health reasons. Because it's mainly marketed as therapeutic. So this woman, this teacher, went to a Reiki channeler for her frozen shoulder, you know, strictly secular reasoning. She fell under the power or influence of a spirit guide. Remember earlier I read about or shared about, you know, the spirit guide aspect of this? And she put out this booklet called Listening Deeply Within. And she said, the following are wisdoms from my journal of channelings from my inner teacher. So after going to a Reiki channeler, she had an inner teacher. And the name of this subtitle here is Attuning to Inner Guidance. So here's the spirit guide talking. You know, this is a channeled booklet, and this is her spirit guide saying this. And I think this is a perfect segue into what we talked about earlier. And the spirit guide said, when the coming together time is here, you will all slip into gear without much resistance to each other. That induction will come as a snap when enough of you are united in spirit.
Right. What they're hearing from the spirit guides is that audible.
I don't know if it's audible or, you know, I haven't experienced, of course, you know, but this is channeling. She went to a Reiki therapist, and now she has a spirit guide. I guess only she could answer that.
And what was the comment that kind of really troubled you?
Well, this part about when the coming together time is here, you know, and I want to read two more here, and then we'll get back to this. So the guide says, you must be exactly where you are, doing exactly what you are doing. We cannot stress how vital that is to the overall work that is happening in Portland and everywhere right now. Trust. So this woman is now working for, it says here, we, and I believe we is the spirit world. So this woman is now working for the spirit world. And then the spirit guide gets very personal and intimate. And it says, the master will guide. Do not have concern. It is all happening. Make inner guidance commonplace. Get it out there for the everyman. And this woman did show up in my local high school teaching, you know, mystical practices. So she was in, you know, was coming into, you know, schools. And then this is the part that really gets me. This is the part where this is really, where it really clashes with Christianity. The guide says, I love you. And then he says her name, you know, which I won't mention. You know, I love you. Nothing is more important than to be a clear, resonating vessel to channel through the will of the universe. Trust in me, your Lord. Trust in me, your Lord. So this woman just had a frozen shoulder. She went to a Reiki channeler, and now she has this inner guide who wants to be worshipped. You know, trust in me, your Lord.
Okay. Now, Gray Youngin, you're kind of freaking a few people out. And the reason I say that is because there are some who are practitioners of healing energy, be it Reiki, be it the other 64 versions of it. They're practitioners of this. They've been wondering for a long time, should they really stick with it? And some of them may be Christians, may be different denominations. We don't know. You referenced that earlier. They want to leave this behind. What do they do?
The ultimate goal in Reiki is enlightenment, according to Eastern perceptions. Whereas in Christianity, the ultimate goal is salvation through the blood of Christ. You know, and the two are polar opposites. If somebody is born again, there will be an inner conviction that this is not right. If you're not saved, which is probably the vast majority, that's what you have to do. You have to repent of it and, you know, believe the gospel and be born again. I would read the book of Romans. You know, I would search out people in the evangelical church that mm-hmm. are, there are people around who are expert at deliverance ministries, things like that.
All right. Let's move to the person who's had psychic energy practiced on them. They're hearing you. This is new news to them right now. They really want to renounce what happened to them. What do you have to say to them?
If they actually see the difference, if they actually see that, you know, there's the preaching of the cross, which is the essence of Christianity, and the person of Christ. Here's a good example. I had a friend who's a Christian, and he talked to a woman who was opening up a massage practice and who did Reiki, you know, and she claimed to be a Christian. She said that she went to church and she was a Christian, but her view was that Jesus was the manifestation of God for the West, but Buddha was the manifestation of God for the East. In other words, you know, Jesus and Buddha were on the same page. And, you know, she was sincere, but she has to understand that Buddha didn't die for anyone's sins. What you have to do is you have to see that there's two different worldviews here. It's not like there's one spirituality that, you know, you can have Jesus, you can have Buddha, you can have the chakras, you can have this, that. You know, it's the Bible talks about seducing spirits, yep. which means imposters.
Right, but there are some who've had this practiced on them, and they're very troubled by what you've been saying for the last 40 minutes mm-hmm. or so. They're very troubled that they've submitted to this.
Well, I would say that, you know, renounce it, you know, ask that the Lord, you know, the true God would deliver you from this and send someone to help you and send people that would come along with you and help you out of this.
Could a simple prayer cover it all?
I believe so. I believe a simple prayer, you know, a sincere prayer. You're really horrified. You don't want to come under the power of familiar spirits. That you think these are angels, but actually they're not good angels. I believe a simple, sincere prayer would deliver you.
Okay. Ray, you and I talked, we talked yesterday about how the Antichrist will tap into this. He must have an infrastructure to get him launched, a spiritual infrastructure to give him credibility. And you feel it will be utilizing this kind of healing. He could be the high priest of the new spirituality, correct?
I believe that firmly. That says, you know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he shows himself to be God. It doesn't say a God. You know, that a lot of people think that things talked about in Revelation have already happened. You know, the preterist view that the man of sin was Nero. But it says he shows himself to be God in the general sense. There's only two concepts of God, really, in the world. One is the Christian view, where God is a personal being that dwells in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. And then there's the metaphysical view, or the Eastern view, that God is in everything and everybody. God is a cosmic force that indwells everything that is. The book Eat, Pray, Love, remember that?
Yes,
Elizabeth
yes.
Gilbert. She
mm-hmm.
said everything is God, including bed bugs and turnips. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's how he's going to show himself to be God, I believe, in the metaphysical view, which is tied into these energy healing methods. Remember what that spirit guide said, when the coming together time is here, you'll all snap into it easily because enough people will be united in spirit. Now, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That meant, you know, their spirit. When enough people are under their control, under their domination, then, you know, they're all just fall into line when the man of sin comes to power. And you don't want to be in that category. People are listening out there. You do not want to be in that category.
Well, again, worshiping strange and even evil things actually will be a part of the last days scenario. And the Bible says, of course, that some are going to give heed to the doctrine of demons. And maybe that's just bad theology, or maybe it's literal demons, or maybe it's both. And then it says in Revelation of that last, very last generation that's going through the tribulation, that they will not repent of their worship of demons.
Right.
And we're talking here, we've been talking for 40 minutes about people who are caving to the demonic, even though they haven't been aware, of course, that it's demonic.
Yeah, this is not, like I said, this is not a conspiracy theory. Anybody can check this out for themselves, and I would encourage people to do so. And also, this is not a fad. This is not something that's going to go away. Like I said, U.S. News and Report, you know, in 2007, there were 1.5 million. Now there's 2 million Reiki channelers. There were 500,000 other methods then. Now there's probably 1 million. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, a quantum touch and all that. So there's probably around 3 million or more energy healers in the U.S. This is not a fad. This is not going away.